We're about to hear a short passage which is near the end of chapter 13 of John's gospel account. At the beginning of chapter 13, the storyteller John tells us this: Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart this world. And now we're at the Last Supper, the day before the crucifixion. That's when this reading takes place. The first thing that Jesus does is he lowers himself to the floor and washes the dirty feet of the apostles. Remember that two of the disciples who got their feet washed were Peter, who would soon deny that he even knew Jesus, and Judas, who was about to betray him. This moment in John's story is clear. The hour for the death of Jesus on the cross is very near. John tells us, and I quote, "Jesus was troubled in spirit because his betrayer was at hand." And shortly after that, Judas leaves the upper room on his way to do the work of betrayal. And John the storyteller tells us it was night. This was the time of darkness. And so, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So this is the season of Easter, and we continue to proclaim the good news of Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today's gospel brings us back to Holy Week, back to the night, back to the darkness that came before the light of Easter. We return to the Last Supper, where Jesus gave us the bread and the wine, his body and his blood. This was the main focus of our Holy Communion retreat yesterday. Jesus gave us this meal the night before he died. Jesus gave us himself, and for us to celebrate this and remember this for all time. The night before he died, Jesus gave us this meal of love that we celebrate every Sunday. Now, by itself, today's reading is about our call to love. But in context, these words of love were spoken in a time of gloom, a time of denial and betrayal, a time of intense suffering, in time where a cruel death was about to happen. But in the midst of the gloom, just after the betrayer leaves, Jesus said an amazing thing. We just heard it. "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him." This moment of gloom in the eyes of Jesus, in God's eyes, this moment of gloom is a moment of glory. The glory of God is found in gloom. The glory of God is found and seen in the cross of Christ. The storyteller John uses the word for glory 42 times, more than the other three gospels combined. The glory of God is found in the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's all coming to happen in this moment. This is the hour. The glory of God is not found in worldly wealth. The glory of God is not found in worldly power. The glory of God is found in sacrificial love, the kind of love where one lays down one's life for others. The glory of God is found in service. This is the love that Jesus is talking about in this context. Just as I have loved you, just as I have loved you, sacrificial love, laying down his life, this is how you also should love one another. The love of Jesus is sacrificial. The love of the disciples, the love of the church is also sacrificial. The best way to experience God's glory in this life, this is what Jesus is teaching us here, the best way to experience God's glory is to love one another as Christ loved us. In a world filled with terror and destruction, and greed, hostility, in a world filled with division and sin, God's glory shines when we love one another. There have been several times in my calling as a pastor when I felt overwhelmed, stressed out, even depressed. I remember one such evening. It was when Christmas caroling was scheduled. And for the few years before that evening, less and less people were showing up to go caroling. And I was getting discouraged. I really didn't want to go. But as the time approached, I dragged myself across the street to the church. I lived right next to the church, and I was a little bit late. When I got there, I found a very large group of people, young and old, ready to carol. God's glory was shining in the community of believers. God's glory was shining in the service that people were about to perform. God's glory was shining in the singing. God's glory entered my soul and restored me and gave me life and lifted me up. Some of you know that I have several translations of the Bible on my iPad. One of my favorite translations is the First Nations version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament. Now, this translation was published in 2021, just a few years ago, by Pastor Terry Wildman, a Native American Methodist pastor, and I love this version. It sounds like the oral stories of Native Americans. God is referred to as Great Spirit. Rabbi is Wisdom Keeper. Temple is the sacred lodge. Synagogues are gathering houses. Listen to verses 34 and 35 of today's gospel in this version. Jesus is speaking. I am giving you a new road to walk. In the same way I have loved you, you are to love each other. This kind of love will be the sign for all people that you are walking the road with me. Jesus couldn't be clearer today. Showing that we're his disciples is walking with him. on the road he walks on. Showing that we're disciples is not based on theological knowledge. It's not based on how many Bible verses we have memorized. Being a disciple doesn't depend on what part of church you belong to or don't belong to. Being a disciple of Jesus doesn't depend on whether we light the right candles or have the right colors. As helpful as those things might be for our spiritual life and for our gathering as a community, walking the road with Jesus is loving one another. That's what's important. Loving one another in service, in sacrificial love. In these things, in this way, the glory of God shines through us. This past week, our church council sent out a check to our synod for collecting funds to provide a roof for a church in Tanzania. For sisters and brothers in Christ, fellow disciples that we don't even know, but we love. Council felt that a note should be sent along with the check. Marge Quinn emailed me a copy of that note. Here's what it said. With prayerful consideration of Bishop Lozano's offer to show support for our sister synod in Tanzania, St. John's Erie decided to set a goal of $5,000. This was to ensure a new roof for at least one of the 10 new congregations. God answered our prayer through the generosity of our members. And we not only met, but exceeded the goal. Enclosed is our check for $5,120. With the sincere hope that our gift will not be seen just as financial, but a connection to our shared faith and the love shown to us and through us by Christ our Lord. Did you hear that? God answered prayer through the church, through the generosity of the church. This gift that was sent this week isn't just money. It's a gift of love. And it's a gift that shows forth the glory of God. This is who we are as disciples. We often remember and celebrate the glory of the past. Thanks be to God for every act of love in the past. Thanks be to God for the believers who came before us, who walked the road of faith before us, and who built even new roads for us to walk. And now, in this present moment, in this time of bread and wine and healing oil, we prepare ourselves for the future. Here, this morning, we receive strength. And we receive healing so that we can walk with Christ into a future where people need love. The best we can carry with us into the future is receiving the calling of Jesus. Just as I have loved you, love one another. Whatever lies ahead, be it gloom or glory, sickness or health, depression or joy, listen to the clear voice of Jesus. Just as I have loved you, love one another. Love one another. Love one another.